I'm Howard Mandel. I recently visited the home studio of Orbert Davis, trumpeter, composer, and leader of the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic. Orbert talked to me about, played some synthesized samples of, and even improvised a theme for a composition he's been working on that celebrates the 100th anniversary of the beginning of the Great Migration. That's when hundreds of thousands of Black Americans began to move from the South to the industrialized cities of the North. This piece has been commissioned by the Jazz Institute of Chicago, Lauren Deutsch, Executive Director, and it'll be played by Orbert's Octet on September 1st at the free 38th Annual Chicago Jazz Festival, downtown at Millennium Park. Orbert talks about his processes and his inspiration.
Well, I was approached by the Jazz Institute of Chicago to, Lauren's always asking me to think big. It's always like, well, you know, let's do something new. You know, 11 years ago, she basically helped me launch the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic just by that phone call. And she said, think big. And so I said, oh man, how big can I think? And I said, well, let's have a jazz orchestra. For this concert, Lauren asked me to go back to my roots, you know, as a trumpet player. I've sort of been stuck in this third stream symphonic jazz world, which has been great. You know, I love it as a composer, as an arranger. You know, I still think big, but I feel the need also to get back to, you know, the roots of not only playing trumpet, but the roots of this collective creativity within a small group. This project is sort of the best of both worlds, where there's color within this modern quartet. So I'm taking the modern quartet and superimposing what I'm calling time travel, in a sense. You know, the project is based on the 100th year of the Great Black Migration, of African-Americans moving from the South to the North, specifically Chicago, in hopes of a better life. So, you know, I could go the route of, okay, let's start with Louis Armstrong and, you know, move through the decades until we get to modern jazz. But I really want the focus to be modern jazz quintet with flashbacks. And not only flashbacks, but also time traveling into what can be perceived as the future. So then we can take this whole bubble, if you will, of the concept of the Great Black Migration and feel the progress as it's happening. So the instrumentation, I'll have two bass players, an acoustic bass and electric bass. Fender Rhodes piano as well as acoustic piano. The Fender Rhodes pianist plays vibes. And the front line of two saxophones and trumpet and drums. And the piece is called Soul Migration. And it took us a while to come up with that title because it's, I don't want to give the impression that it's soul music, but it's the soul. It's the soul of the people who took risks, who gave their former life up or had to give it up, basically, in many cases, to seek for a better life. And this project is important because my parents were a part of the sort of the last few years of that migration coming from Louisiana to Chicago. My parents came to Chicago in 1954, right at the end. And ironically, they bought a house literally 1 mile from where I live now. And I pass it every day. But I was 25 when my father died. And yeah, I don't know. I still think a lot about, I want to ask him, you know, why did he leave Chicago to go to Moments, Illinois, which is basically farmland, which where I grew up. But the more I think about it, I'm very thankful because I had many opportunities, you know, living out there. But I never really got the chance to really ask him personally, why did he move from the South to the North? But it was pretty clear. I mean, it's very obvious job. You know, he basically came to Chicago, got a job, and then went back and brought my mother up. You know, and opportunity. Because, matter of fact, I visit Louisiana occasionally. They lived pretty much on a dirt road, and you know, I really don't want to go back. You know, it's just something about that place, and nah. So for the project, I spent quite a bit of time researching Timuel Black's books, Bridges of Memory, because when I compose, I try to get outside of the music. I don't want my music to be theoretical in nature. You know, I wanted to connect specifically to the human emotion, memory, imagination, facts. Many of the titles come from Timuel Black's books. You know, as I'm reading the book, I will find one word or one phrase, or someone will say something very interesting in his interviews. And, that's the perfect title. So I got his approval to do so, and I give him credit. So, but also there's a new book written by Natalie Moore, who is a journalist in Chicago, who wrote a book about the South Side of Chicago, which is interesting when I parallel both of the two texts. One deals with the past and one deals with the present. And by that, superimposed with my own experience of being in Chicago, the piece basically was born from those connections. So I want every word of this piece to have specific meaning. When you think of soul, it's not a generic term for the genre of music, but basically the heart and soul of the people. Like every person, every personality has a feeling. And ironically, even though many people escaped the South to come North, it wasn't so great at the same time. You know, there was still racism to deal with. There was still separatism and segregation and lack of opportunity. But when we read about Chicago, there was a spirit. There was a drive. There was a sense of community. There was a sense of order. There was a sense of thriving and propelling not only oneself, but the community. And that's most reflected in the stories of Bronzeville, you know, on the South Side of Chicago. And so this piece is a reflection of that. One of the problems with the way I compose is that everything is synthesized at first as a reference. So I'm going to play one section that goes right before a trumpet solo. Let's see here. Let's see right here. Oh, you'll like this too. Let me listen. I make this play some vocals. Play it to there. One of the flashbacks in this piece is evolving where the migrants came from, and which is the South. So instead of presenting a Louis Armstrong piece or something in the style of Louis Armstrong, I'm presenting a New Orleans street band. And so the musicians will be our student brass section from the Chicago Jazz Philharmonic Youth Ensemble. So imagine that we're having this flashback, and out of nowhere comes this group. One of the things I love about the process of combining jazz, which is spontaneous creativity and improvisation, with what would be considered classical writing or more on the other side, but really third stream writing, is that there's so much at the composer's disposal. I believe that being a jazz trumpet player reinforces my compositional technique. Because I don't necessarily have a method. Sometimes I like the stories of Duke Ellington where he would hear something and simply write it on a napkin. Much of this work, because I've been so super busy the last 6 months or so, actually last 3 years, but most of it I actually wrote in my sleep. I would wake up and have my phone nearby just to sing a phrase. And I came up with about 30 what I call tone poems. And they're basically small grooves. There's maybe an orchestrated feeling or whatever. But back in the day, Duke Ellington would write on a napkin. or Miles Davis, before he did Kind of Blue, had just basically, you know, sheets of paper. No scores. Just basically here, do this, try this, do this. But that's the joy. And I, again, thinking as Duke Ellington composed, he wrote for specific people. So when I write for my orchestra, and in the case of this piece, I'm writing for specific individuals, and I know them. I know them personally. I know their musical taste. I know in what way they sound, incredible, and what things maybe to avoid. Much of the composition I'm saving for the first rehearsal. You know, the melodic content is there, introduction, maybe also transitions, and the meat of the composition, which, again, the synthesizer doesn't give it justice, but putting it in the hands of Ernie Adams on drums. I would never tell Ernie, give me this beat. I would just play or maybe sing something or play a line and let him come up with the beat. He's a drummer. You know, it's like telling a cook in a restaurant, please prepare this way for me. No. So there'll be a lot of spontaneous composition as we structure the piece. I've set aside two complete days in the recording studio to rehearse and still saving some for the stage. But I think that's the way music should be, a combination of pre-composition and the moment. A couple years ago, I received a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, and I sort of put it away, waiting for the right moment. This is it, to record. And to be able to go into a recording studio before the performance, rehearse for the performance. We'll also record, because some things, as Miles recorded many of his electronic pieces, he basically told the guys, do this, now do this, and then the magic of the studio was putting it together. But in this case, I want to have this pre-session and then the performance and then a post-session where we'll go back to the studio and sort of emulate but still take what we did in the performance to another level. I don't think we want to remember everything, but there will be something. So we'll actually record an archival recording of the concert and study it before we go into the studio. Or maybe I'll study it. I won't tell the guys to study it because some things, you know, we just got to create it new again.
I asked Orbert if he would create something new for me, some theme that he might use in the composition. Here's what he played. How is that related to the Great Migration?
It's a movement of a people. It's the hope for the future. It's catching a groove on the train. It's being happy about what's coming, not sad about what's leaving behind. Let's work with this a little bit. I'm making come on. Oh, the Great Migration is never over. You know, it moves. I mean, it's all about inspiration. You know, I think that, you know, I know that my great grandfather, who was a slave, did everything he could for my grandfather. Then my grandfather did everything he could for my father. And then my father, basically his whole life was to give me a better chance. And I'm doing that same thing for my kids. But it's very important and that's why I'm very thankful for Timuel Black, who took the time to write this book, because it gives us, in a sense, the bridges of memory. And so we cross those bridges to understand who we are, and then have the responsibility and the hope to build a better future. You know, I'm always teaching my, you know, when I'm always preaching to my kids on the way to school. It's actually a joy driving my kids to school, because it's like, okay, here's today's lecture is about, you know, and it's usually something that they're not going to get in a textbook, you know, but it's life, you know, and it's I think that's the things I want them to remember me by, is not just, oh, he was a trumpet player, but, and he's a composer, but here's why I wrote what I wrote, and here's what it means. And then the all important question is, what does it mean to you? And what are you going to do about it?
Thanks to Orbert Davis for his music, and to Colin Ashmead Bobbitt for recording us. Orbert will perform Soul Migration with his octet September 1st at the 38th Annual Chicago Jazz Festival in downtown Millennium Park. I'm Howard Mandel. I blog at artsjournal.com/jazzbeyondjazz. Thanks for listening.